This Raw Talk podcast is sponsored by our friends at Mortgage Express. We'd like to thank Alfonso Archuleta of Mortgage Express for supporting the music and ministry of M88. They're located at 3701 San Mateo Northeast at the corner of San Mateo and Comanche. Their phone number is 237-2460. It's the support of listeners and businesses like Alfonso Archuleta and Mortgage Express that makes the music and ministry of M88 possible. Thanks again to Mortgage Express and Alfonso Archuleta for sponsoring this episode of the Raw Talk podcast. It's M88, and welcome to Raw Talk. Tonight we're going to be talking about a very important topic. We actually finally were able to hook up with a guest that we tried to get on the air a couple weeks ago, and I'm glad we finally were able to connect. But before we get to that, wanted to remind you that this coming Saturday is the Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit event. We're going to be at Del Norte Sports and Wellness over in Wyoming and Harper. And this event is not only a great way for you to help support the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, the Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, and this radio station, but it's also a great way to enjoy Balloon Fiesta. The Balloon Fiesta just started this weekend. You'll be able to bike through the city as Mass Ascension is going on. It's absolutely gorgeous, and it's going to be a great time. So we appreciate your support. You can get signed up right now at m88.org. And even if you're not going to ride in the ride, if you can drop off some warm blankets, warm coats, it's starting to get cold outside. We wanted to provide some warm blankets for the Albuquerque Rescue Mission. We talked to Doug Chandler about that about a week ago, saying that, you know, we don't think of blankets being a life-saving device, but they can be, especially in the season that we're moving into. So you can drop those off. The bike ride starts at 7 a.m. We'll be out there about 6 a.m. Collecting stuff for the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, getting people signed up for the bike ride. So that's this coming Saturday, Del Norte Sports and Wellness over in Wyoming and Harper for the Chase the Balloon Cycling Benefit Event. Well, if you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago, we were going to talk with Dr. David Hawkins about breaking everyday addictions, and we had a couple wires crossed and weren't able to connect with him, but had a great show anyway, as we talked about what our everyday addictions are, and we're able to get Dr. Hawkins on the show tonight, so now we can learn how to break free from them. And Dr. Hawkins, thank you so much for sharing some of your time and your expertise with us tonight here on Raw Talk.
Well, your people chased me down, yo, and held me at gunpoint, chained me up, dragged me in, and put me on the air. So now let's just hope that the show with me on it is better than the show with me not on it, okay? Fingers crossed.
Well, you know, I'm a persistent fellow, so I was like, you know, I'll do whatever it takes. If I have to send my gnomes after him, I'll do that. But thank you so much for
me.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you so much for sharing your time tonight. And like
absolutely.
I said, last time when you weren't able to make it, we talked about our everyday addictions, and some very brave people called in and said, yeah, you know what? I'll be honest. This is what my everyday addiction is. And so I'm encouraging those of you who listened to the program last time we covered this topic and heard us talk about what our everyday addictions are, call back, 505-338-5790. Here's a chance to say, you know, this is what I said my everyday addiction is. Now what do I do about it? Because that's really what we want to figure out. We not only want to be honest and realize what we're addicted to, but ultimately to move past that, to break free of it, to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to provide for us, that he promised us. When he said that he came to set us free, He meant free from everything, not just from sin, not just from the penalty of hell, but from all kinds of things. And so many of the times we miss out on that, and we miss the abundant life because we let little things get in the way. So if you feel like that, hey, we got an expert on the line this time. Last time I probably wasn't as much help as Dr. Hawkins is going to be. So 505-338-5790 if you'd like to call in tonight and ask Dr. Hawkins, okay, this is my addiction. How do I get free from it? And actually, I really enjoyed how your book started, Dr. Hawkins, your book, Breaking Everyday Addictions, because I like how you introduced where you were trying to pitch this book to people. And they were saying, I don't get it. Why would anyone want this? Isn't going to sell. No one wants to talk about this. And I liked how it was written because, you know, you said, well, we need to help people break free from their everyday addictions. And someone would say, oh, I don't think that's such a good idea. Why they check their text messages. And someone else is like, I don't see why people would want to read about this as they sip their latte. You know, it was a very vivid description of how oblivious we are to this whole concept of everyday addictions. And you know, why don't you expand on that a little bit? Why is this such a hard topic to sell to people? Not that we want to sell it, but just to get to people to talk about.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, or I hit the nail on the head when I was in my meeting with the publisher. We want to sit back and we want to divide things between us and them. You know, we want to sit back and say, "Oh, addictions, come on, that's easy. You know, the addict is the alcoholic, the meth user, the cocaine addict, and even in that population, we're thinking these people are people who are just down and out. They're not working. Their relationships have gone to pot. They're just dysfunctional in every single way. And of course, that's not me. So therefore, I'm clean. I'm good. I pass the test and everything. And I say at the start of the book, I say, you know what, folks? Look, I want to do a couple of things here. One, I want to broaden the definition of addiction. And that word, you know, really does make people stumble. And so I've even compromised. I said, well, you know, if we want to use the word compulsion, I'm okay with that. If we want to use the word problem behavior, I'm okay with that. I don't need to have a sticker on my forehead or yours saying that you're an addict. However, when we expand the definition, you know, when we start talking about shopaholics, mm-hmm. emailaholics, bingoaholics, foodaholics, approvalaholics, codependents, you know, I start going down this list, yo, and pretty soon, well, wait a minute, what about people who go into chat rooms? What about the food addiction people who are into anorexia, bulimic, laxatives, diuretics? What about pornography? What about... You can start to see that, the net got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm not trying to snag people. That's not the point. The point is if we recognize what our compulsive behaviors are and we say, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm not as free as I thought I was, and this behavior really is causing me some problems, and, you know, there the truth shall set us free. I want to add one thing to Scripture. You're never supposed to do that, by the way, yo. But I would add the truth will set us free after it really hurts us. Okay?
Yeah.
So there you go. So we spread the net wider. We increase the definition. And then pretty soon we look around and we say, you know what? We're all in this boat together, including moi, which you notice that my first words in the book are, I'm an addict. Most of us are. Mm-hmm. So I'm a recovering workaholic, I'm a recovering codependent, and I have to work on those issues all the time. So there you have it.
You know, last time we had you on, I actually didn't get a chance to talk with you. Steve-O actually filled in for me, but we were talking about relationships, and from what I've read about you, you know, you kind of built your reputation on being the relationship doctor. And as I was thinking about that, at first, like, well, that's interesting. He's a relationship doctor, and now he's talking about addictions. But actually, when you think about it, addictions can have a huge effect on our relationships. And if we really want to improve our relationships with people, we need to confront our addictions, even if they aren't, quote unquote, that serious. Even the little addictions can get in the way from us really enjoying fulfilling relationships with the people around us. Was that part of your consideration as you were going into writing this book?
I wrote the book, you know, for that precise reason. addictions and healthy relationships are mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a heavy statement. But let me give you a small... I've already told you that I'm a recovering work addict. Now, by the way, recovering never means perfect. It never means I haven't knocked. It never means I can breathe a sigh of relief and go, oh, man, I boy, never have to worry about that again. So let me be a little bit transparent. In my relationship, in my marriage, my wife occasionally still has to say, hey babe, you know, you promised not to do any work on Sundays. Remember, we were going to take Sundays and make them completely for the Lord and for rest and for just being with community and friends, and you're dictating a report. You know, what's up? And I'm dialed up. She calls me out. Oh, man. I'm right. And I mean, you're right. I slipped. So there you have it. So it's you can see how detrimental. So what if I do that again and again and again? Now, with addictions, yo, okay, that particular situation, my wife calls me out. I own up. We move on. Life is good. But right now, you've got listeners who are, they've got secrecy stuff going on. You know, they've got an alter life. They've got an alter ego, and this is very, very, very common. So those listening that say, yeah, I've got an alter ego, I mean, I've got this other life that's hidden. I mean, I'm not trying to shame you. It's just I know who you are. I mean, I know who we are in humanity. That stuff creates havoc in a relationship. You know, a wife or a husband doesn't want to have to keep confronting the husband who keeps using marijuana when he said, no, I am clean and sober. The wife doesn't want to have to keep confronting the man who's gambling and spending the paycheck on lottery tickets or pull tabs or whatever. The man doesn't want to have to keep nagging the woman to quit spending. So anyway, so you can see where this creates a parent-child relationship in a marriage. And it creates absolute havoc, not to mention what happens to finances, health. The relationship goes straight downhill. So relationships and addictions are mutually exclusive, or healthy relationships, excuse me, and addictions are mutually exclusive, and recovery and relationships work so beautifully and hand in hand together.
Yeah, that's a good point. And so often we seem to be oblivious to how our addictions affect our relationships, or, you know, like you point out, we're just in denial. We put on the blinders. We're talking with Dr. David Hawkins here on Raw Talk about his book, Breaking Everyday Addictions. And, you know, we talked about this last time, what our everyday addictions are. Well, if you got some questions now about how can I get free from this, how can I identify my addiction and then break free from it, you know, we got an expert on the line. This is a golden opportunity. And you guys know me, all right? Those of you listening to Raw Talk, you know me. I'm a naturally curious fellow, and I will take up the entire time with all my inquisitiveness. But if you have a question, if you have an issue that you want to deal with, this is the time to do it. So, you know, don't let me hog all the time, as I'm often prone to do. 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790 as we talk with Dr. David Hawkins about breaking everyday addictions. And one of the things I started thinking about, which I didn't really think a whole lot about before, but yeah, it's kind of like on the periphery of my consciousness, but we're kind of brought to the forefront now, is how, you know, most of us say, oh, yeah, I'm addicted to such and such. But, you know, we kind of laugh it off and like, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. You know, addiction is really something that happens to someone else, but we don't really think about the fact that we're all someone else to someone else. And I was kind of curious, you know, why are we so apt to just laugh about our own little quote-unquote, our own little addictions without ever stopping to think about how they might be affecting us? I mean, why are we so prone to doing that?
You know, I think the answer to that is who really wants to be called out?
Hmm.
For example, let's talk about this the generation that's happening right now, where, well, we're all this generation, where let's take something as innocuous as emails. Okay, checking emails. Now, I happen to have one of these PDAs that I get a little buzz. I get a buzz literally, by the way, literally and emotionally, and my brain says, somebody loves you, David. Somebody loves you. So emails, or how about, have you heard the word, yo, have you heard the word crackberry?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So now, anybody listening right now, and by the way, I want people to call too, because we're just all in this boat together. So let's take Crackberry, Blackberry, or my PDA, whatever. Pretty innocuous. Okay, we all check our emails. Nothing harmful about that, right? Well, not so fast. I get emails all the time from people who say, man alive, you know, Doc, what do I do? We're in the middle of dinner, and my husband's cell phone goes off, and he answers it in the middle of dinner. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we're in the middle of church, and his buzz goes off, or her buzz goes off on her phone, and they're texting somebody in the middle of the church service, or da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And this stuff just becomes, an addiction, yo, it begins to invade our lives. It's growing. See, a very definition of addiction, by the way, is it's progressive. Mm. It's progressive. Think cancer, okay? So anything can become addictive, just about. So shopping, what's wrong with shopping? Nothing's wrong with shopping, except for to the person who has an addiction proneness to shopping, it begins to invade their life. Now, back to your question, why do we smile? Well, we smile because, I mean, my goodness, if I call you out on, I don't know what your weight is, but I'm just going to say let's say that you're obese. If I call you out, if I'm a friend of yours, or you're my mate, or you're whatever, I call you out on obesity, you're going to call me out on email. If I call you out on your lottery ticket, you're going to call me out on work. If I call you out, who wants to be called out? And so we've got a society now. And our church, by the way, is a little kind of a mini community where we ain't talking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to talk about, as far as I can see from the pulpit that my church, I've heard sermons on sexual addiction, alcoholism, and drugs. That's it. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard a word on food, nothing on emails, chat rooms, gambling, bingo, love, romance, codependency, approval, pornography, garage sailing, nothing on those things. And I presume the reason why is, man, who really wants to get called out, and who really wants to look at this stuff? And the reason I'm delighted that we're talking about it, yo, is because we got to do it, everybody. We got to talk about it, because it's robbing us of our freedom and our joy, and it damages our relationships. And then we can rid ourselves of addictions and develop healthy pleasures and be healthy people.
Honestly, after I started reading your book, I've always said, ha-ha, I have an addiction to chocolate. I love chocolate. I have an addiction to it. Ha-ha, isn't that cute? After I was reading your book, I started thinking about that much more seriously, and I don't take it as lightly anymore, to be perfectly honest with everyone.
Yep.
Everyone who listens to M88 knows Yo and his affinity for chocolate. But after reading your book, I realized, you know, I don't think I want to have anything in my life that controls me other than the Spirit of God. Because when I do that, when I let something else have any sort of control over my life, I am not really being holy. Because, you know, the word holy just means set apart. Well, if something else is controlling me, I'm not truly set apart for God. I'm kind of like one step in, one step out. And people are like, well, how could, you know, addiction to chocolate really affect you that much? It's like, well, if it's anything that is taking any sort of control over my life, well, that's an area that God does not have control of my life. It's not a place that I'm surrendered to him. You know, we love to sing the song, I surrender all. But secretly we're thinking, I surrender all, but having the Broncos win, I have to have that. Or I surrender all, but, you know, that's not that big of a deal. I can hang on to that. And the more I thought about it after reading your book, after doing the program last time, the more I realized, you know, I want to be able to honestly say, I surrender all. And when I thought about that, wow, that's serious stuff, man. That's pretty heavy.
It really is true, yo, that something, these things, all of these things that we smile about, you know, we can smile about chocolate. We can smile about our sports teams. We can smile about approval. We can smile about chat rooms. We can smile about email. We can chuckle nervously about the whole thing. But here's the thing I want everybody to just, boy, if you don't get anything else from what we're talking about, get this, and that is choice begins to be compromised. See, this stuff, after a while, I am anxiously guarding my relationship to my cell phone. That's personally, that's the way I would define it. Meaning, my wife has said that we have a deal. The deal is my cell phone stays out of the bedroom. My cell phone stays at home when we go to dinner. Now, do you hear the boundaries I'm setting up? Mm-hmm. Now, why am I setting up these boundaries? Because if I don't, this email stuff, this cell phone stuff can just creep in, and pretty soon, man, when my wife asked me to leave my cell phone at home when we went out to dinner, I said, no worries, babe. Pulled it off my hip, laid it on the counter, and I tell you what, for a moment, my hand kind of shook. You know the feeling?
Yeah.
And you ever left home without your cell phone?
I don't own a cell phone, so.
You don't own a cell phone?
I know. It's shocking.
Yo, talk to me, man. Well, for the rest of us, listeners who are going, I know that feeling of laying my cell phone down on the counter and walking out the door and going, I can't go out the door. I can't. No, this can't happen. So anyway, choice is compromised. We would like, but we tell ourselves, now, here's another concept that we got to talk about, yo, and the concept is called DENIAL, and it stands for Don't Even Notice I Am Lying.
Hmm.
So I'm going to tell you, yo, I'm in control, man. Yo, no problem. Yo, I know what I'm doing. Yo, I'm the master of my own ship, the captain of my ship, the master of my destiny. And underneath, I'm going, I'm not sure that's true. I do sneak cigarettes, and I do sneak off to I'm in the chat rooms more than I would want anybody to know. And okay. So choice is compromised. We live a double life, and underneath we know that integrity comes from the word integer, which means whole.
Hmm.
So integrity means we are whole. We're transparent, we're authentic, and compulsions don't go with that.
You know, I'm doing the Truth Project. I don't know if you've heard about this.
No.
It's a biblical worldview study put out by Focus on the Family with Dr. Del Tackett. And fascinating. And the basic premise of the Truth Project is, do you believe that what you believe is really real? And one of the things that he related to that statement when it came to addictions, he was talking about how he often talks with people who are addicted to porn. And they say, you know, I'm fine when other people are around, but when I'm alone, that's when I really struggle. And Dr. Tackett says, do you really believe that the Bible is really real? Well, yes, I do. And he'd say, no, I don't think you do. Because if you believe that it was really real, then you would believe that God is omnipresent, and the fact is you are never alone, that God is always there with you. And if you believe that was really real, it would affect your behavior when it came to this addiction. And that hit me pretty hard when I heard that, thinking, wow, that's so true. You know, we like to have certain parts of the Bible be real until it invades our lives, and we like to coddle our weaknesses, you know. Sometimes we like to say, well, I'm flawed. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I can't really do it on my own.
Yeah.
Sin is inevitable. I can't help it. But God's going to forgive me from these addictions. That just feeds right into an addictive behavior where we think it's going to be an inevitable anyway, won't it?
I think that happens, yo. And I also think that we're masters at compartmentalizing. You know, I grew up singing songs, I surrender all, and God, you can have every room of my heart is open to you. But you know, every time singing that, I always kind of said, well, except for that there's that one little room back there. That, I mean, come on, that can't really affect me that much.
Right.
I'm going to keep that one room kind of walled off. And so we, collectively, us as a church, you know, we sit and on Sunday we sing I Surrender All, but we've compartmentalized things. And then this thing, yo, this thing called denial, it is so, so powerful. In my pre-recovery time of being a workaholic, man alive, I cannot tell you how many arguments and excuses and rationalizations I made for my excessive work. I mean, man, I had to earn money for the family, and I'm building a practice, and this is the American way, and a sloth is talked negatively about in the scripture, and da 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 dee da dee da da, you know, excuses, and I had to have an emotional breakdown before God just said, look, man, you know, I have a word for this, and it's called idolization, or having idols. You know, your work has become an idol. So it takes, you've heard this term, a breakdown to have a breakthrough, or people have to hit bottom. Man, mm-hmm. You know, it saddens me that so many of us, we've got these backpack filled with stones, and we think that we're just, you know, we think we're just walking around normal, but we're heavy laden, literally, and we've got to buckle to our knees before we say, you think I might be carrying something a little heavy here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, going back to the really real statement, more often than not, we seem to think our addictions are more real than anything God has to say. Well, this is so real, I can't break free from it. And Dr. Tackett's statement just hit me so hard. Do you believe what you believe is really real? And as Christians, if we did, man, things would radically change. Well, we're talking with Dr. David Hawkins, author of the book Breaking Everyday Addictions, a book I really enjoyed reading because it brought to light so many important issues that most of the time we just skim right over, as we've already pointed out. 505-338-5790. If you'd like to join in on tonight's conversation, we talked about this before. We talked about what our everyday addictions are. Well, now we can figure out how to break free from them. And actually, Tara just called in with a very good question. Tara, I'm so glad you called in with this question. Welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Tara?
Hey, Tara.
I'm dead with this question.
Yeah.
So, hello. How do you identify addictions in your life?
I'm going to answer that. And then would you be willing? We won't call you out on anything, but I would love to hear what you might be wrestling with. Can we make that deal?
Of course, that's why I'm calling. That's why I'm
Perfect.
Like, oh, shoot, I'm scared.
Well, Tara, here's what we've got to sit back and think about. We have to ask ourselves, are we doing something that is detrimental to us, and we do it in spite of its negative consequences? Okay? That would be one of the first things to think about. We know this is detrimental. We have some inkling. The Holy Spirit is just poking at us, or the Holy Spirit in the form of a husband or a wife or a friend, somebody has said, you know what, you're doing something and it's causing problems, okay? That'd be the first thing to look for. Second thing is you look for increased secrecy about this. You know, somebody wrote this cliche, anything that you have to lie about is very possibly a problem for you. So in my, just a quick little tangent, I'm doing an eating disorders therapy group, and man, do they have secrets? Do they lie about what they're eating and how they're eating it and what they're doing as far as binging, purging, and what they take in, and all these little compromises, all these seemingly unimportant decisions that I can compromise here. So compromises, secrecy, denial about it, doing something that's detrimental to you. And then I would add another kind of classic symptom is we end up doing it a little more and a little more and a little more. We need, the brain is affected, and the brain is saying, I like this. I like this a lot. Okay, so how many of those would you say that you have?
Honest to God, I don't know.
Okay.
The thing that I do that's detrimental to my health is I eat sweets, but I've already set boundaries on that. Don't buy it unless you need it. If somebody offers, because I have diabetes, so sugar's not good for me.
Oh, man, okay.
So I'm just like, oh, I like sugar. I'm like, of course, people who can't have salt are addicted to salt, you know?
Yeah.
But I set the boundaries. I'm like, okay, Terry, you don't need this. Don't buy it. Like, I quit buying candy. I quit buying just stuff that's not good, you know.
And are you sticking with it? See, because, I mean, if you are, that's fabulous. That does mean that you are, you have some manageability of this stuff. Because at some point, our lives become unmanageable. So are you able to stick? That's another very critical, I should have said that, by the way. You set a person who sets boundaries and then compromises on those boundaries, like you maybe heard that I do regarding work at times. I mm-hmm. make these little compromises. So are you sticking with the boundaries?
It's the one that I set, yeah. Not buying it, but if somebody else buys it or offers it, I accept it.
Aha, loophole.
So I'm like, that's the one I set, yeah, but not altogether.
Okay. Any of the other signs or symptoms? So what area of your life are you wondering about?
I have no idea. That's why I'm like, because I can live without anything. I'll cut it out. The one and only thing, person I can't live without is Jesus. So I'm like, okay, what am I? Because I want to, you know, of course, we're being sanctified, so I want to become more like Christ every day and throughout my
yes.
walk with him. So I'm like, okay, what am I addicted to?
Well, you know, here's something that might help a little bit, and I think you're kind of going in this direction, Tara. One of the things that occurred to me while I was reading your book, Dr. Hawkins, you pointed out how when we do things habitually, it creates patterns in our brain that becomes
right.
very used to doing things a certain way. And that was very fascinating to read. And the question occurred to me, well, what is the difference between a habit and a routine and an addiction, which I think might be where Tara's kind of going. Like, how do I know? Because there's things that I like to do habitually, but how do I know when a habit or a routine crosses over into an addiction? And that's something I kind of wonder too. Like, am I addicted to this? I enjoy doing it.
The key is to have some level of honesty about this particular habit pattern and whether it is destructive to your soul, spirit, person, body, or so on. So, for example, the scriptures say to be in the habit, do not forsake the habit, so to speak, of gathering together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there's nothing destructive about gathering together in the body. So that's a healthy habit. Going to exercise, as long as you're not hurting your body, exercise is a wonderful thing. So there's any number of wonderful, healthy habits, but many times, Tara and Yo, we have to have somebody outside of ourselves who will look at our lives. And Tara, you might want to do that. You might want one of the things that might be really good for you and for all of us would be to ask a friend, somebody who knows your life. There's mm-hmm. nothing like asking you, are you married, Tara?
No.
Okay. Well, asking a significant friend or person mm-hmm. to look into your life, because we have these things called blind spots,
mm-hmm.
okay? And many have a lot of blind spots. And so we deceive ourselves, and that can happen very, very easily. So I would recommend that you have someone who looks into your life and you invite them. Here's a wonderful tool for all of us. We invite someone close to us. For me, it's my wife. She has an open invitation to speak into my life,
mm-hmm.
and she knows that. I mean, I have to have that because, man, left to my own devices, I don't always make the best choices. So I would hope that for you.
Well, I hope
right.
that helps you out, Tara. Does that help you out a little bit with the whole how do you identify an addiction thing?
It did. I'm still like wondering, okay, so what's mine?
Well, you know, now you know what to look for.
Exactly.
You know how to find some people who can probably help point that out. So I hope
yep.
you figure it out. And who knows? Maybe you're addiction-free and
yes.
living the abundant life that Christ called you to. And that would be
yes.
fantastic.
Yep.
Well, God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
You bet, Tara. Thanks for calling
yep.
in. Well, 505-338-5790, if you'd like to call in like Tara as we talk with Dr. Hawkins. I'm sorry, Dr. Hawkins. I didn't mean jump in there.
No, I just wanted to bless Tara, and clearly Tara has a heart after God, and that's what we want. And, you know, when we seek, we want legitimate pleasure. God is not a God of no pleasure for you guys. No, God is our ultimate source of pleasure. And it sounds like Tara is searching for that, seeking that, and we just want to bless her tonight. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great, and you know, it's good to be openly honest with ourselves to actually ask that question. What might I be addicted to? And like I said, you know, when I was reading your book, I started to realize, you know, the silly little addiction to chocolate isn't a silly little addiction to chocolate. This is something that is keeping me from truly being free, and I don't want to treat it as my silly little addiction anymore. And one thing I want to touch on that you mentioned earlier, and it was something else that I noted as I was reading through your book that I really wanted to touch on, you're talking about addiction and idols. You know, in Exodus chapter 34, verse 14, it says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." And, you know, people hear that, they get uncomfortable with that, and it made me think, you know, with my addictions, well, of course God's going to be jealous of our addictions because, A, it's taking time away from him, and he loves us so much that he wants us just to be with him as much as possible, and he doesn't like anything that enters our life that could be destructive. But, B, often those things are idols, and so how can we tell if an addiction is really becoming an idol? Because the Bible is very adamant that we should have no idols in our life whatsoever.
Well, that's very interesting to bring that up. Again, let me bring up that example I gave a little bit earlier about me, and on, this is on such a human level, but when I said to you that my wife said to me, "I want you to leave the cell phone at home because I want your undivided attention."
Mm.
Now, that's just on a human level, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, imagine, and I had a hard time leaving it there on the counter, but how legitimate was that for her to say, "I want your attention, I want you to be available to me"? Well, the parallel, I hope, is obvious. I mean, God wants our undivided attention. So, again, I think we have to sit and ask ourselves questions. You know, are we being truthful? Are we really able to give God our best? Are we really surrendered to him? Or are there areas, again, a little checklist here. Let me say the checklist again for people. You know, are you making compromises that you know are unhealthy? Do you have secrets in your life? Do you have secrets in your life that you know? You know, you jump on that computer when nobody's around and you go after that pornography. Or you're buying lottery tickets and you don't want to tell anyone about that. Or, you know, our lives need to be transparent.
Mm.
And so I've always thought this. If there's any area of my life that I am fearful of being transparent about, probably a problem.
Mm.
Okay? So transparency, and that's one of the benefits of koinonia or church life, is people can look into my life.
And, you know, honestly, when I was thinking about the whole idol connection, you know, most people say, "Oh, it's not an idol. I'm not an idol worshiper. It's just a little thing." But if we really took it that seriously, how much more determined would we be to break free from our addictions if we were willing to see it as seriously as God sees it? You know, I mean, if we're willing to admit it's an idol, I got to get this out of here.
Well, exactly. You know, people often, when we bring up this topic, when I go around to different churches and places and I talk about addictions, you know, people kind of glibly say, I can quit that.
Right.
It's not really a problem. And then I say, so do it.
Right.
So do it. So do it. So go on a, I mean, what a wonderful thing to do is to go on a fast. I mean, let me lay this out. In fact, I would love a caller to call in and say, "I'll take you up on this." How about going on a fast for whatever your particular issue might be? You know, maybe you go to bingo on a three times a week basis, and, you know, you're not really sure it's a problem, but why don't you go for 2 weeks and not do bingo? Why don't you go for 2 weeks and not read a romance novel? Why don't you go for 2 weeks without television? Why don't you go for 2 weeks without whatever it is? You know, for me, how about if I go on vacation, which I'm planning on doing in January, and I don't take any work with me?
I'll check up on you for that and see how you did.
That.
All right.
You do that. So fasting... Fasting is obviously a biblical concept, but in the realm of addictions, we call it abstaining. And what a wonderful thing for people to practice. And Tara, if you're still listening, whatever you think might be some attraction for you, why don't you abstain from something for 2 weeks and see what kind of a pull, whether you have a little bit of withdrawal from your stuff, whatever it might be.
Yeah, I actually do a fast every season before Easter, a Lenten fast, from chocolate or from video games or whatever it is that I start to think, I think this is having more of a dominance in my life than it should. And to be honest, since I started doing that, I can honestly say chocolate's had less and less of a hold on my life every year that I've done it, because it takes longer and longer and longer for me to kind of fall back into that rut. And you know, listening to you talk, it's like, you know, my goal is just to make the fast one that lasts. Make the fast that lasts. Hey, I just came up with a cool rhyme right there. We have Joe on the line. Joe, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say, Joe?
Well, I'd like to say hi to both of you guys.
Appreciate
you guys. Hey, Joe. Good to have you.
With addictions, okay, like, let's say with alcohol, my wife came to me and said, I don't like it that you're drinking. And, of course, I appreciated her. I prayed about it, and it was like as if the Lord took the thirst away from me immediately.
Amen.
And stay sober and strong and no worries about that. But then we have the problem with smoking. Both her and I smoke cigarettes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We both want to quit, but, like, the addiction has just so hard for us to... And we both get motivated. We try to do it at the same time. We try to support each other, but it just seems like we keep falling short. I know, of course, a household, you know, having two people with the same addiction trying to break could be extremely hard, but it just seems that if the Lord could take away the drinking from me so easily, why am I still struggling with the smoking, you know?
Joe, let me answer you, and let me just kind of bless you and... But I want to share something about addictions with you. God sometimes chooses to kind of miraculously step into our lives and just take something away, okay? That is not, in my experience, very common, okay? So what's happening with you right now with nicotine is what's happening with hundreds of thousands of other people with food and gambling and everything else. And here's the mistake you're making. If I can I just hit you between the eyes?
Yeah, just lay it out there.
Okay. Joe, you have to take greater steps. You're maybe hoping, you've got wishful thinking. And I tell you what, I'm speaking to thousands of people right now that wish they didn't have the cravings for food or the cravings for video games or the cravings for cigarettes. Yo, what we've got to tell people is you've got to take whatever level of step of intervention is needed to break the bondage of the addiction. Now, what does that mean practically? Practically, what that means is, Joe, you might go to a stop smoking program. You might get medication. There are medications that are helpful to take away cravings. You might have to go away to an inpatient program for 2 weeks. I don't know. What I want people to do, and I notice people rolling their eyes when I say this, but I want you to do whatever it takes. You've got to want it so badly, and pray. So we do both. There's an old, you heard the saying, you pray, but don't forget to tie your camel. You ever heard that one?
I can't say that I have.
Well, it means we pray for God to do his miraculous work. And we do ours.
Right.
All right, Joe.
Yes.
Do you want it bad?
Yes.
All right. Will you commit to me and Yo that you will look into stop smoking programs, that you will take whatever steps are necessary to eradicate this addiction from your life?
Yes, I will. I want to glorify God the best that I can, and I know that the smoking thing just hinders it a lot.
Okay, man. It will cost you. See, we, Joe, here's what we do, man, and I'll tell you what, I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching at me. We are a nation of chewing gum, baling wire, Band-Aids, and Tylenol.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've got brain cancer, and we're going to Rite Aid and picking up Tylenol. Okay? we're kind of silly that way, to be honest with you. Sort of like, I mean, my wife challenges me to eat right, to make the tough decision to be a healthy individual. She says, I want you around. quit cutting corners. So, Joe, I want you to take a fearless inventory. I want you to sit down with your wife,
okay,
and you guys sit down and get and bring a third person in, and have this person be hold you accountable to making tough choices. It will hurt, it will cost you, but in the end, after you cross over the bridge of pain, you have freedom. And I tell you what, baby, freedom. I'm a former smoker, so I can relate. Nicotine is one of the most powerful addictions. But freedom is sweet.
I hear
okay.
you.
All right, baby. All right, take
you.
A step. All right, God bless.
All right, thanks, Joe, for calling in. And we're talking with Dr. David Hawkins, talking about breaking everyday addictions. You know, Dr. Hawkins, a few months back, I talked with this guy, Michael Leahy, who wrote this book, Porn Nation, and he was a porn addict for most of his life.
Yep.
And he was talking about breaking free from that. And he made a very interesting statement where he was talking about one of the common mistakes that we as Christians sometimes make, and sometimes even reinforce, is that we think if we could just pray enough that the addiction will go away. And then, you know, and people even tell us that. And then when it doesn't happen, well, it just feeds the cycle, because then we feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I failed. And that feeling of failure drives us to the thing that we go to find comfort, which started the cycle in the first place. And his point was, look, we may not like to admit it, but for the spiritual aspect of overcoming an addiction, there often needs to be the psychological aspect, because there are,
you know,
very real issues there.
I am just so glad that you said this. And I really suggest that we pause for a minute and just say to people, on every broadcast that I'm on, and I'm on many, yo, this comes up. This question comes up. Somebody calls, just like Joe just did, and they say, in fact, I had a caller just last week, and they said, man, I don't know what's wrong. Yeah, I pray about getting rid of my meth addiction, and God just isn't answering my prayer.
Right.
And I said to him, well, you're praying, and I'm very, very glad you are. So what kind of a program are you in? I'm not really in a program. I'm praying about it. Well, you're not going to Celebrate Recovery? In a church-based program, biblical principles? No. Do you have an accountability partner? Well, no. No, I'm just praying. Okay, folks, please pray. Please do that. Please be in the Word of God, so you're drenching your brain with the Word of God that cuts sharper. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing truth, bone from marrow. Please keep doing that. But, man, we've got biblically-based programs. We've got support groups. We've got inpatient programs. We've got outpatient programs. Let's not, we're handicapping ourselves, and we're using Band-Aids and wondering why we're still bleeding to death.
Right. And the other interesting thing that Michael Leahy pointed out was, you know, the flip side is true as well, because he knew a lot of porn addicts that would go to a program but had no spiritual aspect to it, higher power to it, and they would be, quote-unquote, well for a while but couldn't really last. And so the thing that he pointed out was that there needs to be balance, that you can't really succeed
Perfect.
In breaking free from addiction without a balance of the two. You need the spiritual, you need the power of prayer, but you also need to understand that there are very real psychological, medical issues that also have to be dealt with. And if you just do one or the other, you probably won't find true wholeness and freeness.
What the studies show, yo, is that we need to have a comprehensive program of recovery.
Hmm.
In fact, statistically, what we know is this. The reason people relapse or they fail in their recovery process is because they don't understand what it's going to fully take to recover. You're absolutely right. They either, I'll put myself in there too, we either pray and we've got kind of our spiritual base covered, or we go to the doctor and kind of get the medical base, or we go to the psychologist and we got the psychological, but we don't do the comprehensive program. This stuff is nasty, yo.
Mm-hmm.
It's nasty. I mean, nicotine, Joe right now, I mean, he has got an uphill hoof to do. He really, does. It ain't going to be easy, nor is the obese person that wants to really recover or the video game-aholic. Huge, huge problem in the U.S. Anyway, comprehensive program. We've got to feed ourselves on the Word of God. We've got to have an accountability partner. We've got to be in a support group. We've got to be in a program. We've got to do it all, and even then, it's going to be difficult.
One of the things I really appreciated that you pointed out in your book, and you just pointed it out just now to Joe, was the fact that if you're really serious about breaking free from an addiction, and it doesn't matter what it is, no matter quote-unquote how serious it is, to truly break free, it's going to take some effort, and it's going to cause some pain. It's going to cause some discomfort. And like you pointed out, we're such a pain-averse society, we think, well, I can't be getting better if it hurts. If it hurts, then it's just getting worse. So that's obviously not working for me. I'm going to go try something else that feels good.
And the brain, yo, see, folks, what they don't realize, when we're all honest, when we think about whatever that craving is, when these obese people talk to me in this group that I do every week, they tell me, Doc, you don't get it. I mean, the brain, I'm telling you, when I go to the church smorgasbord, which is a whole other topic, yo, probably didn't even go there. But the church, oh man, I don't want to go there.
That's
anyway,
right.
What they tell me is the cravings are, they're just incredible. The brain, the meth addict, the nicotine, the brain is screaming for this stuff. It's the brain found something that it likes. And now it, and of course, don't really mean to say that the brain is has a life completely of its own, because it doesn't. But we do have physiological cravings, and our listeners know that right now. They're nodding their head, going, "Yeah, this guy's been in my house. He knows that when I get on video games for 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours, that man alive, and I walk away, my brain is going, I want that again. Go back to the video games. I like the anesthetized feeling that I got from that, or the marijuana user who is trying to just calm down, and the brain is saying, I like that. So we've got to find legitimate sources of pleasure, legitimate ways, godly ways of finding pleasure where God smiles and it doesn't become addictive.
Well, we're just about out of time. We're talking with Dr. David Hawkins, author of the book, Breaking Everyday Addictions. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of stuff so far tonight. But let's put something out there that gives people something to aim for, Dr. Hawkins. What does a life free of addiction look like? And why is that something that we want to aim for? Even, you know, because people are probably still thinking, you know what? Okay, so I have a little chocolate every now and then. Okay, so I go shopping every now and then. It really doesn't affect my life. Well, how does that compare to a life that's totally free of addiction? What does that look like?
A life that's free from the bondage of addictions is a beautiful life. It's a life that has balance as far as relationships. It's a life that where we're nourishing ourselves on the Word of God, and we're nourishing ourselves on community, yo. We're nourishing ourselves on friendships that are healthy. We're around healthy people. See, when we're in bondage, you know, we're hanging around a crowd. You know, there's that old saying, my mom and dad told me, birds of a feather flock together, and listeners right now know that. They're hanging around some people that aren't good for them, and their lives are being pulled downhill. A life of freedom is a life where you're making healthy choices. See, addictions compromise our choosing ability. We literally can't choose right and healthy. There's this pull, you know, it's like our compass is off. You know, we're walking, we think we're walking north, and man, we're heading southeast. And we wonder why we fall in the ditch and fall over the ledge. A life that's free is a life where you're making healthy choices and you've got healthy relationships. And I want to say to people, you can have this. It will, like Joe, like Tara, it means making good choices. It means a level of intervention, whatever level is needed, which includes accountability, yo. It includes being in a program. It includes a life of celebration. It includes people who look into our lives by invitation, and they can see places where we have blind spots, and they can say, I can help you with that. Hmm. You know, a cord of many strands is not easily broken, Proverbs says. And that's really true. So we bind ourselves together with other healthy people, and they help us. And by the way, progress is not perfection.
Right.
Relapse is part of the path, everybody. So don't go beating yourself up when you slip. But you look at where you slipped, why you slipped, and what you need to strengthen. So I'm absolutely passionate, as you can tell, Yo, about this life of recovery, life of freedom, a life in Christ. And it really is incredible.
You know, you're talking about how addictions impair our judgment and makes it hard for us to make the right choices. It reminds me of how when God brought Israel out of Egypt and then told them, I set before you today life and death.
Yes.
I tell you, choose life. And it makes me think about how, yeah, that seems like the obvious decision. Of course. Who wouldn't choose life?
Yeah.
And yet, so many times, we end up choosing death. We see people choose death all the time. And to be honest, we do it ourselves. And you know, that just clicked for me, thinking, wow, that's so true. Addictions impair our ability to choose. And that makes total sense in light of what God said. I set before you choose life and death. And then he even has to tell us what the right answer is, which I love.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah,
and
yeah.
By the way, life is choose the right life. Choice.
Yo, I want to tell people that there's many out there that have secret places, and I want them to find someone. It's like I challenged Joe. I want them to find someone that they will be honest with, someone who won't shame them, who will, you know, we're all in this together. Can I give out my email address? People are
absolutely
free. They're free to call and or email me with questions. I'm at yourrelationshipdoctor@yahoo.com. Or my website is yourrelationshipdoctor, spell it all out, D-O-C-T-O-R, yourrelationshipdoctor.com. And I'm happy to talk to you about where to get help for your specific addiction. And man alive, let's hold hands, join hands with everybody that's listening. And God bless them, and they will reach out, and there is help available. We don't have to live in bondage. God came. Jesus came to set us free from that kind of bondage, and he is ready and willing right now.
And I like how you point out he's ready and willing, but we got to be the same if we truly want to break free.
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. David Hawkins, author of the book Breaking Everyday Addictions, and like I said, it's already cast some new light on some issues in my own life just reading through it, thinking, yeah, I need to kind of take this a little more seriously. Thank you so much for your time tonight, Dr. Hawkins. I really, really do appreciate it.
Yo, it's been my pleasure. God bless you and your ministry.
God bless you, too. And hold on, I'll say goodbye to you here in just a moment after I wrap things up.
All right.
All right. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 6, it says, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." And that, for me, it just sums everything up. We want to be controlled by that Spirit of God and controlled by nothing else. Everyday addictions will impede that from us experiencing it to its full. Please don't let that happen to you. I don't want it to happen to me anymore. And I'll admit, I got some stuff that's impeding that God-filled, Spirit-filled life that controls everything about me, and I don't want that to happen anymore. So I hope tonight's program helped you out a little bit. And next week on the program, it should be an interesting one. I don't know if you've heard, but there's this, some little election going on right now, or so I've heard. Every 5 minutes on the TV, there's some sort of ad about it or something. So next week we thought, let's talk about politics. You know, we're not going to talk about any specific candidate. This isn't, something to try and get you to vote one way or another. We're simply going to talk about Christianity and politics, our role, our part, what are the boundaries, what's going too far. and apply it to the current election. It should be a fascinating conversation, and I'm sure there's going to be some very opinionated opinions, but that's what makes it fun. So I hope you'll join me next week for another Raw Talk here on M88. That's it for tonight. Have a shway evening in the Lord.